Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move among us, waking each of us to your promptings, your leadings. Open our ears, open our eyes, open the senses of our whole beings to what you are wanting to show, we pray. Amen. Well, what a week it's been. We were just travelling back from France last Sunday evening, got the overnight ferry from Caen, and were quite bemused to see what looked very like American GIs in sort of casual wear, milling about on the hard, waiting, and we couldn't work out which direction they were going in, whether they were just arriving or just going with us on the ferry. Both seemed to apply, because there was certainly plenty with us on the ferry. And we worked out after a while they weren't real GIs, they were in for some sort of reenactments over in Portsmouth. Anyway, it's gone on from there, hasn't it? I mean, all sorts. Portsmouth on Wednesday, wasn't it, in particular, and then back over in Normandy on Thursday. Red Arrows have been busy. Buckingham Palace yesterday. And Cosford today. Gosh, what a week. Well, we find Moses in our Exodus reading almost in a similar situation. He's had quite a couple of months, and in fact before that a few months as well. We know what the run-up was, all the showdown with Pharaoh. You're going to let my people go, aren't you? Yes, no, yes, no, and eventually they're off. Only to have Pharaoh come in pursuit, and then it's crossing the Red Sea, waters parting, making it to the other side, felt like by the skin of their teeth, foes completely vanquished. Wow, the exhilaration, the up. A couple of days later, they're running out of water in the desert, and they come to a place where the water's bitter. Ugh, spirits have dropped again. The water's made sweet. Whew, on we go. No food. Manna comes. Wow, this is turning out to be quite a journey, quite a couple of months. Again, they run out of water. Next minute, it's water from the rock. Where do we go from here? And then they start to meet opposition, and the Amalekites come out against them, and there's this amazing confrontation in which Moses is praying up on the mountain, and when he's prevailing in prayer, the battle goes well, etc. These stories that are all familiar to us, but it all happened in just a couple of months. And and just into the scene in our Exodus reading comes Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And he comes with a fresh pair of eyes. He hasn't gone through all those ups and downs. He comes with a fresh pair of eyes. He's rested. He's been in the desert tending his sheep. And he spots that Moses has got one or two things on his hands. Several tens of thousands of people, among other things. A people whom God has called out of slavery and is having to start to teach about himself. People who have a slave mentality who now need to adopt a completely new way of life, a completely new outlook of being invited into relationship with the creator of the universe and need to learn his ways. And at that moment, Moses seems to be the only person who is the conduit of communication. And he's got the whole thing upon himself. So we've got these lovely wise words from Jethro. This is not good. This is not good. You need to make some arrangements here. And Moses follows his father-in-law's advice. And suddenly we've got a bit of delegated authority going on. And the burden lightens a bit. Let's jump forward. Because we need to do that. We're covering a lot of ground. To our gospel reading. Jesus has just started his ministry. Again, if you read those first few chapters of Mark, it leaves you almost breathless. Suddenly this, immediately that, suddenly this, immediately that. It's got the rhythm of an express train almost. This is happening, that's happening. And Jesus reaches this peculiar point where he comes to share the good news with his family, his people in his hometown, and basically just gets stonewalled. And he doesn't have a father-in-law to come in and encourage him at that moment in time. But he has the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and his ministry is just starting to roll, and so he sends out the 12 to multiply the effect of his preaching, and he gives them authority, and they're healing, and they're casting out demons, and they're calling people to repent. They're starting to turn the world upside down. Even at that early stage, Herod gets worried. Back in Exodus, a slave people were just starting to get a glimpse of what God is like and starting that long journey. Here in Mark, we've got this wonderful, fresh, upgraded, if you like, revelation of God in the very person of Jesus, come to take mankind a whole step further, a whole leap further on that journey of getting to know God. Go forward again into the book of Acts and chapter 6. Look it up if you want to, but I think most of us will be familiar with it. And we've got the new church in full swing. Numbers are being added. The apostles are sort of in charge at this time, although, again, it's been a switchback ride. An awful lot has happened in just a few months again. 3,000 people added to the church on day one, and several more being added daily on a regular basis. And all of a sudden, just caring for one another is becoming quite an issue. And so in Acts 6, we read of the apostles appointing seven chaps full of the Holy Spirit to care for this emerging church at this early time. And again, we see the wisdom of delegated authority so that they can focus on the task in hand. What's happening here as we go stepwise into greater revelation and experience of what God is like? In our first story, there was one person to begin with, just who was passing on what God is like to the people. As Jesus begins to send others out to preach and teach on his behalf, we see a bit of an increase as the new covenant is rolling into action. And in Acts, it's like everything has gone up a significant gear more. A significant gear more. God's story is increasing. In fact, we read in Acts 6, chapter 7, in the context of those new appointments, not only were the numbers of people being added to the church increasing, but really intriguing little line, the word of God was increasing. The story of what God is up to, in fact, story is plural, and the story of what God is like was impacting all those communities massively. And the stories were starting to spread like wildfire as to who is this Jesus, or who was this Jesus, and what's this happening now in his name? What is going on among us? Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? The word of God was increasing, and that's recorded a number of times through the book of Acts. And I'm pretty sure, because it was a few years before Caxton was on the scene, they weren't printing Bibles. They might have written one or two scrolls just to make a record of what was going on. But no, it was the story of what God is up to that was spreading like wildfire and was growing and would have been passed on by word of mouth, very excited word of mouth. And as Paul wrote, faith comes by hearing the word of God, by hearing about what God is like and what he's up to. And the Holy Spirit uses that story to stir faith and get us to have a go and take a risk. I found myself wondering, in the context of these reflections of the way God was at work in revealing himself and increasing the reach of his story into the lives of so many, I found myself wondering, here we are 2,000 years later, how wide is our perspective on how we hear and how we appreciate what God's story is? We're most of us, because we're in an evangelical tradition here in this church, we're most of us pretty familiar with the fundamentals of what's written in God's word. We depend on it as our sure and steadfast reference point in all of our decision making, all of our querying, all of our wondering, and all of our wanting to make Jesus known. We're back in the Bible regularly, and that's fantastic. But how about the daily experience of appreciating what God is up to in my life, your life, and what he's wanted to do in the lives of folk around us in the community? What's my window of access to God like? Does it go beyond what's written in here? Does it go beyond the familiar stained glass windows in the place where I worship? How is God speaking to me? Many of us experience the quickening of certain passages of Scripture. But I just remind you again, back in the book of Acts, they weren't printing Bibles. They had access to the Old Testament scrolls. But the Word of God, nonetheless, was increasing amongst them. Dependable stories of what God was up to. Let's just rewind very slightly. As we celebrate Pentecost today, the second chapter of Acts will have been read and reflected on and enjoyed in countless churches up and down this country and throughout the world. And that's when the Lord really, really, really took things up a gear. Do you remember Peter's interpretation of what was going on? He said, we had it here this morning. Let me explain to you what this is. This is what the prophet Joel foretold. That in the latter days, my Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on everyone. 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 So that it's possible, here's me starting to paraphrase, it's possible for everyone to hear from God. It's possible for everyone. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we've gone from Moses, singular point of access, through Jesus, starting to make the gospel known to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and seeing a significant increase and an amazing revelation of what God is like and his love through him. And as he said, it's better for you that I go away, because then I can send the Holy Spirit, and suddenly you've got countless envoys, countless witnesses to what he is like, living out the life of God throughout the world. Everyone is commissioned. And so suddenly you've not got the model where one person knows and passes it down, and hopefully everybody gets the message. The weakness being that if that one person gets into difficulties, then the whole thing can tumble down. We've got a completely different model at work here. The model of every member ministry. And Paul starts to put it together in his thinking when he writes to the Ephesians. And says, when Jesus ascended on high and sent the Holy Spirit, he gave gifts. He gave gifts to mankind. And he lists them, the apostles, the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists. He gave gifts like these so that the whole church, so that everyone can start to grow and be equipped for the work of every member ministry. And when that happens, the whole body starts to build itself up and becomes mature and like Jesus. Wow, this is a different model from the one man leading the nation. Suddenly you've got the possibility of endless multiplication with the same Holy Spirit wakening and driving, leading everyone along. So, was that just for 2,000 years ago? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Even though the life of the church has ebbed and flowed down the centuries. And it is a benefit of getting a little older that actually suddenly looking back 2,000 years it's not quite such a long time ago, is it? You know? Not quite such a long time ago. If you and I lived to 100, well, that's, you know, it's just 20 times that lifespan, isn't it? It's not that long ago. So we're kind of living in recent times. So, if the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everybody, I refer you to back to Peter, as written in here. And if being led by the Holy Spirit is for everybody, and again, I'd probably refer you back to Peter in here. And if speaking out the words of God is for everybody, and I'd refer you to Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, then that's pretty good news. And that means a pretty lively appreciation of what God is up to for everybody. So I'm going to suggest that just to refresh us in the experience of that, it would be wonderful if we just took a couple of minutes to give the Lord the opportunity to communicate with us through a window of access that is perhaps less familiar than ones that we're normal, that we're used to. Now, don't get worried. It's quite okay. It's quite okay. I'm going to invite you, we're just going to take, sorry Tim, I never looked at what the time was when we started, I did warn you though, I might not look at my watch. We're just going to take 5 minutes, no longer, and what I'd like to invite you to do is to have a look out of a window. A little bit challenging here because these are a bit opaque, so you might want to wander over and get really close to the glass, because I think you'll probably see a bit more if you do that. I can suggest that if you go and stand at the entrance doors, you'll probably see a bit more. But what this is, it's a looking out. And I'll pray before we do that, and just to invite the Lord to show us something through which He can grab our attention. What's that all about? Well, the Holy Spirit seems to work with triggers. And very often He'll just catch our attention with something. One of the prayer ministry team, as we were sharing this morning and praying, just told how she really had her attention drawn to a little tree as she was out walking with the dog the other day. And it was the shape of the tree that really caught her attention, because it was shaped like an anchor with a cross in it. And it just spoke to her deeply, to where she was at that moment in time. She showed us a photo of it. And there's nothing special about a tree like that, and we can go overboard analysing what we're looking at. That's not what it's about. It's a trigger, which then, if we just hang loose a moment, the Holy Spirit can start to talk to us or communicate with us, take our imagination to a place through what we've seen. And that's all I'm inviting you to do. So by going to a window, a door if you prefer, and I'll remind you that the windows on the stairs have got much clearer glass if you want to go and stand on the stairs for a couple of minutes and look out. what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I'm open to being, to you speaking to me through ways that I haven't explored yet. So we're looking out of a window, inviting him to do exactly that. If you're not comfortable doing that, please don't feel obliged. I just want to invite you to. And it may be that you prefer to just look at something in here. But as I said earlier, it's perhaps a familiar place. So if you're going to do that, could I invite you to go and sit somewhere you don't normally sit and look at the room from a different angle? I'm sure it's allowed to come and sit on the step up here or something. Okay, let me pray and then I'll say go. Dear Lord, we so want to hear from you. We're conscious that our experience compared with that of the early church is sometimes rather lacking in openness to you speaking. We just invite you, Lord, to show us things and to take our imagination where you want it to go. We submit our imaginations to you and ask for your help, dear Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready, steady, go. 5 minutes by my watch. And you don't have to report back. This is just between you and God. Wonderful. I make that about 5 minutes. I hope that was at the very least stimulating, possibly perplexing. Very happy to have a longer conversation afterwards, if that's what you'd like to do. The point is, this isn't a dry book just about history. This is the story of the living God at work in the lives of a nation, nations, individuals, and today, millions of people throughout the world. And one of our fundamental struggles, I think, is with our own sense of place in that story. And we're only going to find peace in that place when our own relationship with God comes to life. And giving him opportunities to speak to us, I think, is just such a key way to make room for that to happen. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, was what I was hinting at earlier. So let's press on into our own identity in the God of Moses, who is Jesus the King. Let's press on into healing and wholeness as he works in our lives. And as we wake up to all of that, my oh my, what stories we'll have to tell. And I know we've already got stories to tell, but it'll increase like wildfire. Amen.